Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Now, in just a few minutes, what we'll do is we'll try to unpack some of that somewhat confusing SOPs that was issued for the mandatory work from home directive. We'll speak to a representative from industry as well as one from a workers' union. Now, our team had also reached out to the Ministry of International Trade and Industry as well as the Ministry of Human Resources. However, their representatives declined to come on the show tonight. Now, before we get to that, let's first take a look at an issue that's burning up social media and spawning memes. Plantation Industries and Commodities Minister Khairuddin Amarazali from PAS had incurred public ire for apparently avoiding quarantine after returning from Turkey in July. Now, after 3 months, it was announced today that the police have dropped their probe as the Attorney General's Chambers declared that there is no case against the minister. Now, the decision is based on a claim that the minister was not issued a quarantine order. But will that satisfy a public that sees double standards everywhere?
Indeed, Melissa. The question of optics, and one wonders actually today, the optics even matter to many of those in authority. When you look at social media, the response has been quite negative. They're looking at this as yet another example of an inability, the lack of political will. Right. To hold account those in power. So, but what are the facts? And the Attorney General's Chambers actually came out with the very, logical sequence of events that led to their decision not to charge the minister.
Well, you know, on social media, Sharad, the hashtag no double standards is making its rounds. And I
yet
think
again,
one of the things that they're pointing to on social media is the fact that this case with Khairuddin is juxtaposed against a former contractor who, on 2 days ago, contractor Melaka was jailed 14 days and fined RM1,000, this for failing to self-quarantine. But he left to go to work and to the shops, apparently after coming back from Sabah, where he went to vote in the recent state elections. Now, it was also ruled that if he failed to pay the fine, he would be jailed for another 7 days. This particular news item is being used to juxtapose the Khairuddin story today.
Yeah, in fact, I think for a couple of months now, we've had precisely this leniency showed to some members of the public, perhaps those with connections to those in power, and then a rather kind of hard-nosed attitude towards the general public. If you remember that a rather sad video that went viral of a young boy who was fined, RM1,000, whilst not wearing his mask properly. I mean, again, you know, people, and I don't know if people necessarily write about this, but there's a kind of level of distrust in government. Recently, a leading religious figure also talked about the real problems we're going to encounter if people are disenchanted with the political elite. Yeah. They no longer trust the political elite to be fair, to be consistent, and to be clear.
I want to come back to the Khairuddin case, Sharad, because, you know, I think some of the questions that have been raised has been, why was it that, you know, there is no longer, that this case is not going to be taken up by the Attorney General's Chambers, because, you know, in August, the Health Ministry had fined Khairuddin RM1,000. So the question should probably go back to the Ministry of Health and the Director General. Why was Khairuddin not issued the 14B form to undergo quarantine? Why was there no pink ban given to the minister? Are civil servants bending rules for ministers? Are they ordered to bend rules for ministers? These are the questions that are being posed. Yeah,
indeed, I think the Director General was in fact posed that very question this evening. He has responded and he said that as far as he knew, wasn't aware of the situation. So again, you know, there's a lot of passing the buck, the optics of which, of course, doesn't look good for the government of the day, because it seems to underscore at least the sentiment in one segment of the public, which feels a distrust for those in high you know, in the high office. Right. So, you know, but Melissa, will this be the end? Will we see the end of this now that the police have dropped this case?
I don't know. I mean, that is really entirely up to, I guess, how the authorities want to take it out or whether it's going to go down well with public sentiment. But Sharad, let's very quickly move on to some other news. President, President Dato' Sri Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, he today called for a quote, political ceasefire, and said that UMNO would strengthen its cooperation with Perikatan National Parties. Now, this comes, I think, a week after UMNO said it was considering withdrawing its support for Perikatan and had wanted to set new terms for UMNO's continued cooperation with the PN government. So, I guess a change of heart for UMNO.
Well, I mean, there's nothing permanent, I think, in politics, Melissa, and no more than in coalitions. Coalitions are notorious for this constant trading and negotiations. Though, I mean, Barisan Nasional, it must be said, you know, a coalition that lasted for almost 50 years achieved some sort of stability, perhaps because UMNO was dominant within that coalition. Mm. Now you have two major parties or two major contenders within the frame. We have not just UMNO but Bersatu, and you see a lot of the troubles that have beset the coalition have come from the strained relationship between those two components. Of course, PAS is also there in Muafakat Nasional, and I believe that we see the troubles in over the elections in Sabah, right, between those two components of this new configuration. We also see trouble in Perak, the state of Perak also looking a bit shaky at times, or even there in Johor. So again, there is a lot of jockeying, perhaps because the partners all look to the same political base or same voter base, right, for their support.
Yeah, so again, you know, whether UMNO and Bersatu are actually competitors. And I think it's quite interesting because not too long ago, as you mentioned also a little bit earlier, that UMNO and PAS announced that they're going to register Muafakat Nasional as an official coalition. And what this will do is, although I think this decision doesn't include Bersatu, having UMNO and PAS solidify this coalition, it will mean a strengthening of their party machinery going into GE15 together. I also wonder, you know, this comment about this political ceasefire, I really wonder how long it's going to last, because as you said, nothing is permanent.
Yeah, and also, you know, at the start of the week, we did have strong rumours of a possible cabinet reshuffle, reshuffle or an expansion of the cabinet to accommodate the new demands that UMNO had. And so the question is, have those demands ceased? Has Zahid Hamidi, as president of his party, decided to withdraw demands on the Perikatan government led by Bersatu's president, Widin Yassin?
Or just put a pause button on it?
Yeah, but of course, you know, politics is not just on the surface, it's also under the surface. We don't know what the kind of behind the doors negotiations are going, but whatever it is, it does seem to have put a pause, a permanent pause perhaps, in the coalition that Anwar Ibrahim was trying to pull together in order to challenge the administration of Perikatan Nasional. And he said he had numbers, with numbers obviously were based on some faction of UMNO supporting him. Has that ended? Looks like it, but who knows? You know, a day is a really long time in politics.
It is, you're right. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, but after this, we'll discuss those new work from home measures, which have been met with complaints over its lack of clarity. All coming up in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.